Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, October 27th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 95, the first paragraph, unless your friend wants to talk further, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Linda B. will be reading the 12 steps, Karen W. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Mary B., Patricia C., and Penny L.C. The share ID for Tuesday, October 26th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 17,983. That's 17983. This morning's Wednesday, October 27th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, share ID 17,991. 17991. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Linda B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Kathleen and my fellow OAs. I'm Linda B. and a compulsive overeater, and grateful to be here this morning. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I'll pass, and thank you for the opportunity to be of service.
Thank you, Linda B. And Karen W., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Good morning. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 10. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you, everybody, for your service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Karen W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 95, the first paragraph that begins with, unless your friend wants to talk further. We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And good morning, Mary B., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. Good morning, my fellows. My name is Mary B. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Phoenix, Arizona. I want to repeat, we're on page 95, first paragraph, working with others. Unless your friend wants to talk further about himself, do not wear out your welcome. Give him a chance to think it over. If you do stay, let him steer the conversation in any direction he likes. Sometimes the new man is anxious to proceed at once, and you may be tempted to let him do so. This is sometimes a mistake. If he has trouble later, he's likely to say you rushed him. You will be most successful with alcoholics if you do not exhibit any passion for crusade or reform. Never talk down to an alcoholic from any moral or spiritual hilltop. Simply lay out the kit of spiritual tools for his inspection. Show him how they worked with you. Offer him friendship and fellowship. Tell him that if he wants to get well, you will do anything to help. Well, I don't know about you, but I always enjoy coming to a vision for you. But this chapter is really special. I love how they let us know exactly ABC how to do what we need to do. But often when we've read this one sentence here, sometimes a new man is anxious to proceed at once and you may be tempted to let him do so. This is sometimes a mistake. If he has trouble later, he's likely to say you rushed him. I've been a sponsor for about 4 years now, and to my knowledge, I haven't done that. But I know in my case, I've done it myself. I've often gotten a sponsor and I want to get in there. Let's go. Let's do it because I want to feel better. I feel so miserable. The food is killing me. It's driving me crazy. And I'll be anxious to hear what else others have to say. And then it says, never talk down to an alcoholic from any moral or spiritual hilltop. Simply lay out the kit of spiritual tools for his inspection. Absolutely. I get offended, and very quickly, because I'm so sensitive, when someone talks down to me. Absolutely. And I try to the best of my ability to pass on what was passed on to me from other sponsors, from people in the fellowship, people that have shared and have helped me. And for me, the simpler you can make it, the better. And that's what I have to try to do when I talk to newcomers, sponsees, and my fellows. I can complicate things enough as it is. I don't need your help there, right? I'm already, when I first come in, I am so messed up. The food has got me. I'm screwed, more or less. It's got me, and I need help. I am desperate. And the more desperate they are, the better. And then it says, offer him friendship and fellowship. Tell him that if he wants to get well, you will do anything to help him. Absolutely, absolutely. I can't say it enough. That I never realized after 34 years of chronic relapse in OA, and I'm coming up on 4 years and 5 months on Sunday of abstinence, which is a miracle. If you would have told me that over 4 years ago, that helping others was part of the key to this thing, that is part of the spiritual tool, I would have said to you, you're crazy. But it is absolutely true. I've proven it day in and day out for this amount of time. And I still can't believe it. I'm still pinching myself back, black and blue, and I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for allowing me to do service, and I'm anxious to hear what the rest of you folks have to say, and I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary V. Okay, although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on Monday or Tuesday and you would like to share on this first paragraph on page 95, I'm ready for your name.
Naomi.
Naomi B, was it?
Naomi S in Central Oregon.
Okay, and was that an S as in Sam, Naomi?
Yes, please.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks, Naomi.
Ronnie B. Arlene B, Los Angeles.
Carrie
okay,
G. Okay, so I heard. Ronnie. Hold on, 1 second.
Yeah.
Ronnie, was it, what was your initial, Ronnie?
Ronnie B as in boy.
Okay. And Arlene, what was your initial?
Yeah. B.
B also, okay. And I got mm-hmm. Carrie, was it G?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Veronica B.
Veronica B. Okay, we'll stop there. So Naomi S, Ronnie B, Arlene B, Carrie G, and Veronica B. So go ahead, please, Naomi S.
Did you call on Naomi? Sorry.
Yes,
hi.
I did.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. This is Naomi S in Central Oregon, and this spoke to me like, oh my gosh, so loud. And my personal experience, we have someone, I have someone in my close inner circle who has been in the 12 steps for 10 years. And only recently, like in the last couple years, did they stop trying to convert everyone around them. And it was this, like everything that this paragraph is cautioning us about, I was on the receiving end of. And it was very limiting to my ever becoming open and ever becoming curious about what I could maybe get from the program. And the behavior was very like just constantly wanting everyone around them to have the same experience they were having, kind of proselytizing or evangelizing the material and the experience, and rarely was there ever even a listening ear or an open door for that. And then in contrast, I recently, in the last year, made a friend who has a ton of recovery, and they offered assistance and love and hope and strength in a very different way, identical to how it's suggested in this paragraph. They just showed up and they just listened and they just, they were so gentle and patient and present to my process. And lo and behold, when the time was right, I reached out. And when the time was right, they offered me the Vision's phone number. And when the time was right, I called and listened. And I'm so thankful, so thankful for that second person who followed these suggestions in this paragraph to a T. And now, because of that groundwork and that offering, my heart was softened, my ears were open, and I'm here. Thank you so much. I'm done.
Thank you. Thank you, Naomi S. in Oregon. And Ronnie B., you're up, followed by Arlene B. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Good morning, everyone. Ronnie B. in Missouri. I love reading and listening to the Vision stuff overall. It's so tremendous for me to get these daily reminders because I have a built-in forgetter. But specifically with what we're talking about today is next month will be 2 years of abstinence for me. And that seems surreal. Like I keep thinking it cannot be true. But I'll tell you one thing, no one apostolized to me. Nobody said to me, here's what you have to do, because if you would only do what I do, you would be so much better off. I would have ran for the hills. So I don't do that with people. Unless they ask for my experience, strength, the hope, or in sponsoring, I would just give that on a high level until they ask for more information. Further, I don't feel like even after 2 years I'm in any position whatsoever to say, look what I've done, you ought to do this. No, I don't feel that at all. And I feel like when I sponsor, no matter where that person is at, they continue to keep me afloat. It's not the other way around. I mean, I do have a sponsor, I need a sponsor and all of that. And then I sponsor, and I'm in the middle, and I need all of that for me to, I would like to say stay humble, but that's not true. It's to learn to be humble and then to keep going with that. So I just have to remember where I came from. And with that food and what I was listening to was, you know, it was just always on my mind. And I mean always on my mind, all of the time. And I won't say I have 100% food neutrality, but I will say that it's like so much better. I'm not sitting around all day long craving. That doesn't happen. So with this, what I get from the reading is I can share my experience, strength, and hope if and when it's asked for, and not to just blurt it out to other people. I was on a retreat, this convention this weekend with some friends. And one of them can barely work anymore because of her body. So she has said. And yet there's no thought in her mind about change. And she'll even say, I want to eat what I want to eat. My life could be over tomorrow. And I'm not in any position to say, here is what I did. And I don't say that because she's not asking. And I know years ago, one time I talked about OA in general, and she just shut down. So I have not done it since then. I mean, I don't hide that I'm in program, but if I'm not being asked today for help, then I don't do that. I can just say I've watched three people at my table gorge, and I had to say, but for the grace of God. And one other thing I'm learning from my sponsor is to have that compassion, which I don't always have. I want to get angry. I want to say, look at yourself, and that's why you can't work anymore. But who the hell would I be to say that? So I don't say that. I say, but for the grace of God, there go I, and it's one day at a time, one meal at a time. Time is up. Okay, thank you. I'll stop there.
Thank you, Ronnie B. in Missouri. And Arlene B., you're up, followed by Carrie G.
Good morning. Arlene B. in Los Angeles. I don't share too often, so makes me a little nervous, but here it goes. I guess a few things came through my mind later after listening to people. You know, I have to remember that part of the reason I talk about my program, or I'm supposed to do this, quote, supposed to do this, is because I need to save myself. And it reminds me of where I came from. And that ideally I'm supposed to be, what do you call it? Like they'll look at me and they'll say, oh, look at her, you know, she did it, I could do it. And sadly, for a lot of my career in OA, that hasn't been the case physically. Certainly emotionally and spiritually, I've been on this journey, but physically, thank God, I'm back in abstinence now for just a little over 2 weeks, and large part of it was coming back to this meeting. However, I've had this experience in a couple of situations. I had a sister, may she rest in peace, who was overweight like myself. And she didn't want to come to OA. It scared her. So that's it. I stopped talking about it, or just talked about myself, but not in any way to enhance her, you know, to suggest she come. And I have another friend who is overweight, but it's so interesting because when she overeats, she'll talk to me about it, but she doesn't do the same thing to herself that I do when I'm binging. I destroy myself. Emotionally, I just tear myself apart. I want to do terrible things to myself emotionally because I'm not abstinent. And yet she doesn't. It just sort of boggles my mind, you know. She goes, well, I'll get it. You know, I'll get it back when I get it back. And, oh, yeah, I know sugar's addicting, you know, ha, ha, ha. I mean, she takes it seriously, but it's not in the same way that I do. And I kind of realized that there's a difference and that there are people out there who may not be compulsive overeaters and may be heavy. But for me, it's how I destroy myself emotionally. And so, you know, just for today, I'm just trying to get as much program as I can and trying to do what I need to stay abstinent. You know, I pray that I'll lose my weight, and I'm there specifically more so for people in program who are suffering. And I can share what I'm doing and where I'm at because, you know, when we're in program and we're suffering and we're binging, one day is a miracle. And, you know, we just pray for one day. And so I'm grateful to be abstinent today and on this meeting. Thank you.
And thank you, Arlene B. in California. Carrie G., you're up, followed by Veronica B. Go ahead, Carrie.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Carrie G., compulsive overeater in Colorado. Grateful to be on a meeting. And it's so subtle, the nuances of working with others. And I'm just looking at the two places. First, the paragraph is telling me that if he wants to get well, I will do anything to help. And yet it's telling me not to exhibit any passion for crusade or reform. So I just have to be very connected with my internal sense of knowing that I get to be a really good listener when I'm working with someone else, that I don't want to push this person away with my tendency to be a human, which is like my desire to control, you know, I see this person suffering. I want to send them resources, Vision for You podcasts, but I don't want that person to get scared off with like this passion for crusade or reform. So it's a very subtle line that we walk when we're working with newcomers. Just here's my example from just yesterday. There was a newcomer on a Zoom meeting, and I sent her some information. Did I ask her if she wanted information? No. And sure enough, this morning, she sends me a text after her very first OA meeting saying, OA is not for me. And that's her choice. After one meeting, she knows it's not for her. So I have to be really mindful to connect with my higher power. You know, is this coming from a place of love and concern? Or am I trying to push, you know, what's worked for me onto others? So I think my lesson is really, you know, I get to ask people, would you like a podcast? Would you like me to send you a new Zoom link for another meeting? And just be really mindful. Take it easy, relax, let my higher power guide me. That's the source of light and purity and love that's working for me. So grateful to be on a meeting. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Carrie G. in Colorado. And before we take you, Veronica, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 95, the first paragraph. Unless your friend wants to talk further, and I'll be taking some more names after Veronica. So go ahead, Veronica. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. My name is Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service. There's a lot of points in this paragraph on how to sponsor, how to talk to the newcomer, and it simply tells you, give them a chance to think things over. Let him steer the conversation. I mean, it's all your bullet points, right? You will be most successful with the alcoholic if you do not exhibit any passion or persuade or reform. I used to sponsor, okay, so I've been in Overeaters Anonymous since July of 09. And when I started sponsoring, I used to call newcomers and I would see if they wanted a sponsor. That's how I did it for a very long time, very long time. And is a lot of them weren't willing or weren't as willing as someone that would reach out to me and ask me to sponsor them because I would, like, push them. I was, like, pushing them, you know. I was so scared to lose my abstinence, you know, that I wanted immunity from my compulsive eating, right? I wanted immunity, so I wanted to help others. And I was really eager. And that approach didn't, it did work sometimes, but it was very challenging for me because often, you know, they may not be that ready. So anyways, fast forward to today, the way I sponsor is I'm always, you know, when I'm available, I say that I'm available and then I let them call me. When they call, I always start with, well, why don't you tell me about yourself? Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself? And then as we get on this dialogue, and then I share with them my experience, you know, how I come to live today in abstinence and how I have neutrality around the food and how my only purpose today is to be helpful to others and that my whole life has been transformed because of the 12 steps and because of being in the middle of Overeaters Anonymous. And this is what's been most successful for me today. And I'm only saying this because I approach sponsoring the way I reached out to my sponsor. When I reached out to my sponsor last year, I was so desperate and so willing that I did anything she suggested because I just wanted to get well. I was having a lot of trouble in my personal life, a lot of problems, and I was afraid I was going to lose my abstinence, so I wanted to work the steps again, and my sponsor gave me suggestions, and I did that because I wanted to feel better. I knew what the answer was. I knew that the only answer for me was to do this work and to get closer to God. So this program is absolutely amazing, and everybody have a nice day. Thank you.
Thank you, Veronica B. in California. Okay, we're on page 95, the first paragraph, unless your friend wants to talk further. And if you have not shared Monday or Tuesday and you'd like to share, I'm ready for your name.
Nadia B.
Nadia B.
Janice K.
Janice K.
Sarah C.
Is it Sarah C?
Sarah, S-A-R-A-H.
Okay, C, okay.
Sharpie.
Booby.
Char, C-H-A-R.
Char, okay, thanks, Char. Anyone else? Okay, we'll start with those four. Nadia B, Janice K, Sarah C, and Sharpie.
Go
ahead, please, Nadia. Okay, I'll put you
Barbara
on there too, Barbara. Thank you. Okay, got you, Barbara.
Thank
okay,
you.
Nadia, go ahead, please.
Good morning, everyone. Nadia B, gratefully recovered in Connecticut. And as we're reading this paragraph, I was thinking of the history of this paragraph. And, you know, at this point, Bill is sponsoring for about, for a few years. And the first 6 months of this, few years of sponsoring, he was going to the bars and trying to get people off the bars and dry them up, and for 6 months he had no success. Nobody really got sober. He stayed sober, but he couldn't get anybody into recovery. And so for me, that says a lot. When I know this, history, it gives me an idea of what I need to do in order to be successful. We cannot be helpful to all people, and God provides help for us in this book. For me specifically, of course, I have to sponsor in order. The first paragraph suggests that the only hope for us for any sustainable abstinence and recovery is, and the only immunity we have is through helping others. And so that's my primary purpose. But I also have, these suggestions on and history and a lot of experiences of other people. And I am, I have to say I'm guilty of, my first few sponsees. I was trying to do what Bill was doing, pull people out, try to convince them to put the food down, and none of it worked, right? So that was very painful and really a waste of opportunity for someone else and waste of, someone else's time and mine too, because God, provided this opportunity for me to be helpful to someone else. And that's why I love history so much, because this is experiences of many people. And I try to do my best to follow these directions in order to be effective and helpful to others. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nadia B. in Connecticut. And Janice K., you're up, followed by Sarah C. Good morning, Janice.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Central Oregon. Oh, I think that as I currently understand it, and I don't say I've got it right, but as I currently understand it, the difference between leading and lecturing is leaders use an I statement and lecturers point fingers and say, you. Oh, from my own experience, There was a song, the first thing that comes to me, it's just I think in musical terms sometimes, is a song from the 60s. And it was just a silly little thing. And the verses are, "Or would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be?" And then you get the choices, which are not real complimentary. On a good day, okay, a day, and a good day is a day when I am fully surrendered and I'm not wrestling with self-reliance again, but when I am fully surrendered and cooperative with my higher power, and we are, I am under God's umbrella walking down the road, those are the days I feel like I could swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, be better off than I was. And I don't ever want to go back. I know what is at stake. And once I have the experience of living that way, it is such a joy to reach out and offer to share it with someone else. And be better off than you are. If you are struggling with food, our website will be listed at the end of this meeting. Go to the website. If you click on the 10 a.m. meeting and go to January 1st of 2019, we start on the doctor's opinion. Right now, what we are talking about may not fit you. If you are a beginner, go back to where we were. Go back to the doctor's opinion. January 1st, 2019, and come on the journey with us. Maybe we can help you get those vital first days. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Janice K. in Oregon. And Sarah C., you're up, followed by Char B. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. My name's Sarah. And I'm a compulsive over and under eater and an exercise bulimic recovered for today. So my addiction to compulsive over and under eating and exercise places me beyond human aid. No amount of self-knowledge, no amount of self-will, no amount of therapy, no sponsor, no meeting, nothing can help me. I am beyond human aid. And that is the essence for me of step one. And so when newcomers come to meetings, I just let them be and make the contact, talk to them. But I had to be brought to my knees and I had to be convinced that I was beyond human aid. And in order for me to be willing to reach out and ask for help, because I was a very self-reliant person and felt like I could do it on my own. And it had to be proven to me that I was beyond human aid and that when I'm working or interacting with a newcomer, I just give them space because they need to get that as well. They need to get that they are powerless over this disease. And I think it takes all of us varying lengths of time. It certainly took me a while. I mean, I put the food and the compulsive over and under eating down, but I was still exercising bulimically and really believed that it was just fine. And it wasn't. And that is an example for me that I was beyond, and I am beyond human aid. And so this paragraph in this chapter of working with others is just a great reminder that we are all where we are. And, for many of us, it's the gift of desperation. It's the gift of realizing that we are beyond human aid. And that we need a power greater than ourselves to connect with. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah C. And Char B, you're up, followed by Barbara B. Go ahead, Char.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Good morning, everybody. My name is Char B, and I am a newcomer here. And I am so interested in how you guys are articulating this, which is, let me say, so different than my family of origin, and how they always knew what was best for me. And they did speak down from a moral hilltop. And so this is very different for me. And I was welcomed to Visions by a lot of phone calls, and I have not returned them all. But if you happen to be on here and you called me, I sincerely, sincerely and deeply appreciate your calls. And each one of you, I will be getting back to you. But, you know, what I noticed with I got a sponsor right away, and because I heard the message clearly from her outreach call. And we're going through the big book, and we're going through it together, reading together. And I'm seeing myself and my own disease in there. And it's just, it's so helpful to know that others have been through this before me. And, you know, I have definitely reached the end of my rope here with compulsive overeating, and just very grateful for the approach of Visions. It's very much, pardon the expression, by the book. And, you know, just I remember somebody once telling me that though the issues are different, the answers are all the same, and they're in this book. And I'm grateful I know that. I'm grateful for every single one of you. Thank you so much for your warm welcome, and I pass.
Thank you, Char B. And we're on page 95 this morning, the first paragraph. And after Barb B, I'll be able to take one more person, I think. So if you'd like to jump in and share, I can take a name after Barb. So go ahead, please, Barb.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thank you for your service, everybody, to be there. And I'm a newcomer. I started the program this year, and I have a very, I'm still looking for my business. I mean, I'm not binge anymore, but my business, it's very, can be, I can eat more salad. You know, I can stuff myself with salad, an example. And, you know, I, of course, I know some foods that I shouldn't have, but I'm very, I'm not like clear for everything, and I need to stop the behavior of wanna eat just because I'm feeling something, you know, instead to just learn to feel the things. And I've been doing the program for response. I'm still on step three, but I've been reading by myself a lot of stuff, and I learn about the step dance, you know, just do the step dance when I'm feeling overwhelmed and I'm feeling angry, resentment. I can now pause and be aware that I'm feeling that thing right now instead to react, because before I was just reacting life, you know. And now this is a very, very nice thing that I see, but I'm just wanting to do the other steps, of course, because I think after you do the 12 steps, then you have more, the awakening more clear, you know, because I already believed the higher power, so I was like halfway, and I learned just to pause now and not react, and it's a very nice thing. But I'm not doing sponsors, of course, but I reach out, you know, to do the calls, the reach calls, outreach calls. It's been very valuable also, because today I woke up, I was feeling overwhelmed because I ate a little bit more yesterday. And instead to just, oh, beat myself up, I know where to go now. Before I was lost, I was like, what I'm going to do? I'm going to eat more. I don't know what to do with this feeling, you know. And now I have the tools. I have the program. I have you guys. I can do an outreach call. So I did today, and it was nice. The lady helped me a lot, and I helped her. I bet. So it's just, you know, I don't need to come back to that old place, as I look at like a very old like behavior. I don't need, I have like now, it seems like I have another person inside of me that I still have the other old one, but I can now talk with the other one. And I say, listen, that place is over. You're not going there. So it's very helpful for the newcomers, you know, to have the, for me, you know, as a newcomer to have this opportunity to see the light and see that this program really works. You know, if we do work, you know, we're not going to sit down and just listen to people. But I respect my time also. At the beginning, I couldn't share. So thank you so much for being here, and I pass.
Kathleen, we're not able to hear you. Could you please unmute your phone?
Okay, sorry about that. So we do have time for one more share. Would someone else like to share on this first paragraph on page 95?
Sherry KB.
Go ahead, Sherry. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathleen. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Kathleen Noe and Team Wednesday. I love this section because it talks about direction here. It's telling me, you know, I can hand what I know to somebody that I want to work with. And, you know, but it's telling me don't wear out your welcome. You know, give them a chance to think it over. It's really important to not feel like, you know, someone's being pushed upon or whatever. I think that's so important. And it's giving me directions here. And that laying out the spiritual, you know, toolkit for them to inspect, you know, it's like explaining how I take people through the big book and what I do and how it's worked for me. And then just tell them that, you know, I'd be more than happy to take them through. And if they're interested, to call me. Also that, you know, I can always take an outreach call. And I really mean that because I do love talking program. I absolutely love this program, and I love talking program. And I have a lot of people call me that want to just talk program too, so I'll do that. But I know that pushing somebody or spirit, you know, trying to lecture from a spiritual rooftop does not work. And coming across as holier than thou doesn't work. And coming across like I have all the answers for everything doesn't work. I'm not, you know, I'm not a professional at this. I'm just, I can only give my experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, I don't have the last word here. And I know that I believe that when my higher power sends me the people that are my higher power wants me to work with, I really believe in that. And so I know that I can be friends with somebody if they don't want to work with me or, you know, just be an outreach call or whatever. But, you know, it's a, to me, it's a firm but a gentle process to work with someone, to let them know that it's coming from what they want, not what I'm pushing them to do, I think makes a big difference. And I always invite God into everything with this to lead me and show me, you know, if this person, if God wants me to work with this person or whatever. And I offer it. And then I let them think about it and pray on it and whatever they choose, because I know that my higher power is going to send me the right person. And I don't know. I just, I think coming from a place of preachy and, you know, you better do this and you better do that, it doesn't work. Didn't work for me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry KB in California. Okay. We are now going to close our meeting with reading on page 164. So, Patricia C., if you would please read a vision for you.
Good morning, Patricia C., Raleigh, North Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.